Today we'll be talking about a very important topic, especially it's a topic that as a church around the world, this is a theme that's been ringing throughout the doors and the pulpits from our churches. It's a theme that the church has chosen for these next 4 or 5 years, normally from the year 2000 to 2025, this idea of the theme, I will go. And so I want to spend some time this morning to look at some principles in regard to this idea of I will go. It's so good to see all of you. Welcome to Eden Valley Church. I'm seeing visitors, those who have visited before, of course, and are coming back again, our members, our lifestyle guests. As we mentioned, this is their last Sabbath with us, and so we do welcome all of you. I don't want to get in trouble, start calling some names. I'm seeing faces that I do know and some that are visiting, but I don't want to miss anyone, so I try to be careful with that. But this is not the church you normally visit every Sabbath. We welcome you. We're so glad that you're here. And for all of us who this is our home, we're here. Sabbath after Sabbath, it's good, always good to see each of you. And so today, we want to go straight into our message, I will go. Let's pray as we open the Word of God. Father, we are grateful that every day you are able to give us a message that will touch our hearts and that will draw us closer to you. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for the word that you have for us today. May you please now allow your Holy Spirit to remind me of the things that I've studied, and may you fill our hearts with your love this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I will go. Will you go? Perhaps is the question for us this morning. This idea of I will go, you know, it was very interesting. Of course, I didn't talk to Georgia about the singing and the songs that they would be singing. I didn't know the songs until I heard this morning. Interestingly, thank you, ladies, Hearts in Harmony. That's beautiful, yeah? We should see them some more, right, Georgia? I heard you said it. All right. Hearts in Harmony, that's beautiful. But I wanted to say something about the first song. You know, when I was 18, I did my first evangelistic meeting, and that was our theme song. So that's why I said I didn't even know what song they're going to be singing. But while they were singing in the offertory there, I was ready to preach, because that's a song that's normally played in my evangelistic meeting. And after that song, I'm up to preach. So I was almost tempted to get up. Then I remember there are other things in the program that needs to take place before the message. But he touched me, shackled by a heavy burden. And there are many times in our lives we feel like we've been shackled, but there is something important about that, and that is, it doesn't matter how much shackled we are, God can give us a special touch. And I know today has a special touch for each and every one of us. I will go. This is the theme that's been ringing across our churches, as I mentioned before, this idea of going. Going to do what? The idea of going. You see, I was tempted to step away. That's what I'm used to. I'm used to something up here. So I'm going to try to stay on the pulpit today, Chris. So I will go. What we will go and do? You see, friends, as we come to these last days, God has given us a special work that we need to do. And this idea of going is going on the behalf of God to reach a world that is dying in sin. Are you still out there this morning? It is going out there to be in touch with a people that are in need of the love of God. So this idea of I will go, if this will cooperate with me, somehow it's choosing not to cooperate. So yes, I point it up here, I point it back there, I point it everywhere, I point it up here, and it's not cooperating. And so Chris is going to help me with that. So you can help me to change. If all right, okay. So Chris, you want to change? He did? Okay. So this is my sign, Dale. Thank you so much. All right, so in the book of Revelation, we see this idea of the three angels' messages. I will go proclaim the three angels' messages. And these messages are great warnings to the world. In fact, it's a message of love. Sometimes we think about the three angels' messages and we think about the second and the third angels' messages that talks about Babylon is falling and all of that. But when we look at the first angel's message in Revelation 14, we see the idea of worshiping God. The group did so lovely in singing and praising God this morning, and all of us are a part of that. The worshiping of God, the praising of God. I will go and proclaim the three angels' messages. The first angel's message says, fear God and do what? Give glory to Him. And so it's all about the worship of God. It's all about giving God the glory, giving God the praise. That's the first angel's message. But we're not going to focus there for this morning. We want to look at this idea of each one having a message in his or her heart to give to the world. That's the message that we have. And then we come to this idea. This is another theme that's been ringing through our churches, TMI. And no, that's not too much information. That is total member involvement. Right? Total member involvement. So this idea is that all members should be involved in doing something for God. What do you say? What are your talents this morning? What are the things that God has given you as gifts to be a part of His work? God wants us to use all our talents and go to be a part and of the proclamation of the last message. Total member involvement. The idea behind this is that there should be no spectators in the church of God. Everyone should be involved in something in the church of God. Everyone, God has given the talents and the different gifts so that we can be a part of the final message, if you're with me, Dale. And so God is saying that we should be involved. And then the question is, now I thought I would teach or say something in Spanish this morning. Yeah, there are a lot of Hispanics that attends our church, you know. ¿Por qué avanzamos tan lento? Why do we advance so slowly? All right? Why do we advance so slowly? ¿Por qué avanzamos tan lento? Why do we... What's the problem that we're seeing up here?
Too much luggage.
Oh, mercy. Too much luggage, Johnny. All right, something else. Anyone else? Square wheels. All right. Anything else do we see here?
No horse.
No horse. Mercy. All right. All right. Only?
Only
two guys. Beautiful. You see, it's coming together. Anything else?
Putting works before faith.
Huh? Putting works before faith. Okay. So they're tired. Yeah, we see that. Oh, they're hauling. All right. Anything else? Woohoo! All right. Why don't we use the tools inside the box? Or the cart. What else do we see up there? They're carrying all the burdens. Do you see how much sermons you're giving me from just the one picture? Yes. So why do we advance so slowly? We're looking and we're seeing that few people carrying the burden. That's some of the points that came out. We're asking the question, why are we not using the tools that we have on the inside of the car? Somebody said there's a square wheel there. Yes, that's true. We have some square wheels. And we also see that we may be trying to do the work on our own and we're not using the faith that God has given to have the work move forward. Now, friends, with that in mind, we need to think about a couple of things. Let's run them down now. Oh, it's bad when I don't have this clicker thingy. All right. Thank you, Dale. All right. Keep going. Keep going. So we have identified some of the problems. One more. We have seen the square wheels. We've seen two guys, a lot of pressure in them. So what we're getting from this is that sometimes in the church, few people are bearing a lot of the burden and others are relaxed. Are you there? Sometimes only few, and in fact, there are many people who believe that the work are for only the church officers, the pastors, the elders, and those who hold positions, and the musicians. Yeah, they need to get the work done, and we enjoy the service. But that is not God's will. God's will is that all of us have something to do and are doing it. Amen? So, as we think about this morning, God wants to give the church something we call a natural growth.
Crecimiento natural.
Crecimiento natural. God wants us to give us a natural growth. And that is through the growth process. It should be natural. It should be a form where the church of God are using all the talents and all the things that He has given to us. And that way, we use the tools, as was mentioned earlier. And what's change up here now? Well, they're sailing. Look at that. Now, in the first picture, the guys were pulling and sweating and hauling away. In this picture, they're sitting and enjoying the ride. So we see the change. We see what changes when we allow God to work and when we use the right tools. Now, as a church, I will say it, today, I don't believe that we're lacking tools. I don't believe that we're lacking information. I don't believe that it's because we don't have enough methods to get the work done. There's so many methods out there today. In fact, we're told that Christ's method alone will give true success. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed sympathy. What else? He ministered to their needs. He won their confidence, and then he bade them, follow me. Five things. Mingled with man is one who desired their good, showed sympathy. He met their needs, and also won their confidence, and then he said, follow me. This is the method that Christ has given to his church. And so I will go. God wants us to think about these beautiful principles that he has given us. And sadly, sometimes in my mind, I wonder if the church is too obese. I wonder if we're having a fat church. Oh, should I say fat? Oh, obese. And what that means is that we have so much information. We have so much talents. We have so much gifts. We have so much going on. All the different talents, all the information that we have. There's no lack for information. But if we study and if we read and if we have a beautiful time and doing all together, but not exercising the things that God has given us, then we become the obese church. And the obese church is the one that has so much information and knows everything about prophecy and knows everything about the Word of God, but not exercising and sharing that with others. And God is not looking for a beast church today. God is seeking for a church that will share and that will go and present the messages for this time. My friends, we are living in serious times. Let's keep going down, keep going down, keep looking down. And as we come through these times, we see that all through the Bible, God has been always wanting His church to be a busy church. Oh, here we go now. What will we make of this one? The brethren up on the top of the church, putting on the roof, ready to go. Trying to get the work done, finishing up the work. And some brethren down below, cutting down the work. Do we see this sometimes? There's some people excited, they want to get the work done, and they're moving forward while others, well, we shouldn't do it this way. Well, we should do it the other way. And it's all these different things that are cutting down the work, beloved friends. But God is calling for the church to be united, to have the same mind, to speak the same thing, and to proclaim the one message that He has given. And that is the message that Jesus saves and Jesus satisfies and sanctifies. And so, God is not calling the church to be divided. That's Satan's plan. God is not calling the church for some cutting down each other and some warring against each other. No! God is wanting His church to all be on one accord, on speaking the same thing. In fact, we are told in the book of Acts that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they all were what? In one accord. The day of Pentecost. That God's church, a moving church, that's why we're normally called a movement, by the way. A movement should always be active on something. What are we moving on? We have a mission. We have a work to be done. Friends, now Charles Spurgeon puts it like this. I like a lot of his quotes, you see. You may notice that. He puts it this way. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. My Lord. So it's either we're a missionary, we're on a mission, we're getting the work done, we're doing something for the work of God, or we become an imposter to the work of God. And so with this in mind this morning, we want to think about the great calls that God has given to us. I want to look at four calls with you this morning. Spurgeon, many years ago, great Englishman, received a call from here in the United States to come and give some motivational speech. Well, they said, we wanted to give about 50 speeches, and each one we have $1,000. So, you know, you'll get $50,000 in the end. That's years back. So that's a lot of money. Years back. A lot of money. Of course, this was tempting for the preacher. The preacher thought about it very much, and the preacher asked a little bit more on who he'll be giving the motivational talks to and all of that. And he realized, you know, he has so much work, and his preaching schedule was very tight back there in England. And so Spurgeon thought about it, prayed about it, and said to the men here in the U.S. that called him, he said, you know, I really appreciate your offer. I would love to come and give some motivational speeches. But instead of coming there to motivate and just to give some classes and you give me a whole lot of money, I'd rather stay here in England. And I'm sure by preaching every day, I may want 50 souls for the kingdom of God and forget about $50,000. You see, Spurgeon and many of the stalwarts of faith had soul winning on their minds. And it doesn't matter what was going on around them, how much money they could gain, what the very most and important thing that was on their minds are the winning of souls. And so today, beloved friends, God is calling us to be a part of this. I will go. There's this idea with I will go with five various things that are linked to your church, it is said. Church growth. Grow your church, the idea here. And they use five different things. I want to mention them quickly as we move along today. Let's go to the next slide, and we're going to see the five things that they mention, the growth process. Number one, keep going. Prepare. So in that blue zone there on the top, it's referring to prepare. And now how do we prepare? How do we prepare the soil? How do we prepare the people for the reception of the Word of God? And in this idea, it's all about serving. What are the ways that you can serve the community? What are the ways that we can serve the neighbors? What are the ways that we can reach out? Serving through different things, cooking school, health classes. The list goes on, called portering, sharing of books and literature. Whole lot of things that are listed in this. Number two, they're talking about this idea of planting, sharing the word, spending more time reaching, talking with people. Christ, showing sympathy, meeting their needs. This idea of planting seeds, we call it. Reaching out, getting in contact with people. The more we get in contact with people, I dare say this. You know, every day when God puts us in contact with people, it's not by accident. He has a purpose in mind. You know, a few years back, because of my mission work, I needed to fly a lot. And I always pray before my flights, asking God, Father, you know the person that will sit beside me. I want you to prepare that way for me. I know it's not by accident who I will sit beside. And sometimes it's so hard to talk to people nowadays, because sometimes you go and you sit down and the boat ears are plugged up, if you understand what I mean. And so I prayed, Lord, please, please do something. I don't know what you're going to do, but just do something that I'll be able to. So I remember one flight, and I was wanting to talk to this lady. She was beside me, this younger girl. Yeah, she was there. And, you know, of course, you have to be careful. You're a young man. You know, you don't want to behave as if you're hitting on anyone, of course. So some people, by just sharing a conversation, something else might be in their mind. So you always want to be careful. So I was praying in that time and asking, and throughout the entire flight, headphones were on, and until she fell asleep, I said, Lord, I guess I don't know how to, you know, what I'm going to do. And I don't wake her up, tell her, hey, how are you doing? No. So, you know, I left that case. But there's another flight. This particular flight I want to tell you about. I remember I was there and I prayed before the flight. I really want to talk. I just want to reach out. And you know, God will do some things at times that are unconventional so that you are able to reach out to people. And so this other person, I think this was this guy at this time, in this occasion, and he was, a big guy, almost like, you know, I think they should think about when you're choosing a seat, if you didn't get to choose and they choose for you and then you go to the counter and talk to them about it, I think they should think about height like mine, never put in the middle. And so in this case, I was in the middle row. The B aisle. I memorized the aisles by now, right? The B aisle. So I'm in the B area and I'm in the middle and there was a big guy. There was a big guy on the aisle and you know, when you're in the middle, you can't move your elbows now, especially if someone big is out there. And so this guy's there, so I have to be like this, you know. Can't even, you know, stretch a little bit my shoulders, so I was like this. And so I'm like, Lord, I want to talk with this guy today. So I'm praying about it. Thinking about it, headphones were on and all of that. And you know, sometimes, doesn't matter how big we are, turbulence can make us all like babies. And so I remember, you know, the pilot came on and spoke a little bit about what's going to happen. We're going to go through some clouds. And you know, when these announcement comes on, those who are busy and doing all these kind of things now, they're woken up. They are awake. And so he took off the headphones and looking around and he looked a little nervous. I have to say, big guy, he looks a little nervous. So, you know, I was just there, relaxed, thinking, praying in my heart. I didn't try to put on a show, try to, you know, bowing heads and praying. No, I was just praying in my heart, looking. And he kind of looked at me. I said, hey, man, why do you look so calm? I said, all right, Lord, here we go. Here we go. I've been praying for this. Here we go. And so I said, it's all right. Started sharing with him, and little by little, I shared where the calmness came from and all of that. For the rest of the flight, we chatted for over 3 hours. Was able to share different things, and he's asking where I was going, and I started telling, I'm on a mission trip, and you know the rest of the story. And God opened up the way that we're able to talk about his love and his goodness through the entire time. Friends, it doesn't matter where we are, where we're going. It is not by accident when God placed us in various situations and with the various people. God has a plan for us, so we should be sharing. We should be planting. We should always be sharing with people what God is doing in our lives. So this idea of grow your church is the idea. Just run down, Dale. Let's go through all of them. 5 of them, all right? Cultivate, studying, always reaching out to people. Then we come to the harvest. We come to the time when we want to lead people to a decision. You see, God is not wanting us only to serve and share and study, keep studying. I've known people say, I've been studying for 5 years and more and more. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but there are times that we don't call for a decision, do you see? We study, we share, but we never call for a decision. God wants us to call for a decision. What do you say? He wants us to call people and ask people, so what's your decision for Christ? You have heard all of this. You've seen all of this. What is your decision? And so in this plan, God is wanting us to think about the people that are out there as we share, as we serve, as we do all these studies, etc. We need to have an appeal. We need to have a way. By the way, I have an appeal for today. God told me, don't forget to appeal. We're getting used to preaching without appeals these days. I'm going to appeal today. I'm appealing right now. And so here it goes. We need to be preserving the seed, mentoring as they come in, and then we also prepare them to go out. So we're told that whenever one comes to Christ, they should never get lazy. They should never come into the faith and start to enjoy and never get active. The best way for us to grow is to be active for Christ. So I want to share with you a few things this morning. In the book of Romans, we see a very interesting idea. I want to lead your attention to the book of Romans for the next 15, 20 minutes. Let's share together here. In the book of Romans, we are seeing some ideas about this. Romans has a lot to do with the idea of the lostness of mankind. Man is lost, but God has this power or the saving power to deliver man from his lostness. So throughout the book of Romans, in a nutshell, the outline or summary of the book of Romans, we see the introduction. I'm going to talk about the introduction here in a minute. But what we see throughout the entire book are these things. The righteousness of God. The gift of righteousness. The nature of righteousness. The righteousness in God's treatment of Israel. All those chapters are there. Righteousness in relationships. And then the conclusion. What is this showing us in the book of Romans? You see, friends, Romans shows us how much, how lost we are. When you look through the first chapters, you realize that mankind without Christ are lost. But the great thing about the book of Romans is that as you read through chapter by chapter, you're starting to see now the righteousness of Jesus to save mankind. And it doesn't matter how lost we are, God's righteousness is available to all of us. And through the book of Romans, you will see this theme over and over. So I want to walk through some things with you now. God's four calls to evangelism. I will go. Number one, watch this. The call from within. Number two, the call from without. Thank you, Dale. Number three, the call from beneath. Number four, the call from above. Now, can we do this in 15 minutes? You have to work with me this morning. We're going to make this happen. And so, Dale, your fingers are busy. The call from within. Look at what it says. The idea that we see from the book of Romans, keep going, in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, it says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and what? To the, come on, wake up now. To the Greek and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul was very clear about his calling. This is Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, Paul is saying, I am debtor. I am indebted. There is something for me to do. Why am I indebted? Paul is saying, I know the grace of Christ. I know what God did in my life. I know how He saved me, and therefore I am now indebted to share this love to all those around me, do you see? So Paul says, I am a debtor. I am in debt to share the message to everyone. So the call from within. Notice, so as much as in me is. That's the call from within. In me. It's something, the pulsating action that's going on in your heart. As somebody said and puts it this way, the book of Jeremiah. I will not speak anymore in the name of the Lord. But something happened in my heart and I felt like fire shut up in my bones. I can't keep quiet. Jeremiah puts it this way. It's like fire in my bone. It's something within me. It's a call, beloved friends, when you reflect on what God has done for you. It's when you reflect on what God has been doing in your life, that's the first call, the call from within. The call from within says, I was a sinner, I was out there, and I didn't know Christ, but now I've given my life to Christ. Christ has saved me, I cannot keep this to myself. Amen? That is the call from within. For we cannot but speak. In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. That's a call from within. Deep within your heart, Paul and Peter and John, the disciples on Pentecost, when they saw what God did, they remember what God did for them. James and John wanted to call fire from heaven. God calmed down their temperatures a little bit. And they came in. They're learning to follow Christ. And as they learn, they realize, I cannot keep this to myself. But we must speak the things that we've seen and heard. Do you feel that call from within? Do you feel it? Do you sense it daily when you consider what God has done for you and all that's going on in your heart, the fire that's in your heart, you cannot contain yourself. That's the call from within. God is giving us this call from within today. God is saying to us, friends, just like Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not what? Ashamed. Of the gospel of Christ. For what? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul is saying, I am not ashamed. Are you ashamed today? Do you feel sometimes, hey, I have to be very honest with you. I've felt ashamed many times. I've felt ashamed. It's not that I didn't want to talk about Christ, but I was nervous. I remember One of the first times I went out, I got panic and I didn't remember what to say. You know, I tried to memorize my canvas and I didn't remember my canvas. I felt bad. I went home. I prayed, Lord, I want to remember my canvas. I want to remember what to say. And then the Lord started telling me, don't memorize too much canvas. You know, when you're a canvasser, you learn things, Johnny. You know that stuff. Johnny's a canvasser. You learn things and you have the perfect little speech that they give to you and you memorize it and you go out there and talk about it. But the Lord was telling me, forget about this canvas. Talk about what I have done for you. Forget about the set phrase and all of that, because every situation is going to be different. Just go out there. I will impress your heart what to say. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. So don't tell me, you know, I'm not a preacher. Oh, it doesn't matter. You're not a teacher. It doesn't matter. All you need to speak about what God has done for you. Oh, that is it, beloved friend. So Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because what? It is the power. What power? The power to change life. What power? The power to give us a new life. The power to change us from nothing to something. It is the power to take sin from our lives and to allow the righteousness of Christ to be within us. That's the power of the gospel. Philip Kundeni, I won't pronounce the last name, he puts it this way, give me souls or I die. Mercy, that's a call from within. That's something bubbling up inside that he can't keep. Give me souls, Lord, lest I die. I pray that this is our intention. And deep in our hearts, that call from within is that call that is prompting us every day. Give me soul, Lord, lest I die. I want to reach out to those that are without Christ. And now I remember a story years back with some slaves. You know, the slaves usually sing some songs to keep them along the way. Sometimes they would have a line of slaves and they're all marched on the way and they're all lined up with chains and the slave masters are leading them by the way. Then they would sing a little song to keep them along. The story is told of this particular group. They were walking along, and so this lead slave, they have what they call the lead slave. So the lead slave would start a song, and then the others would continue. It's amazing. So they start a song. They're under pressure. They're dealing with a whole lot of stresses and difficulties, but they had a song in their heart. And so they were singing, and this slave, oh, I have a crown. And the other slaves continue, we've got crowns. And they keep going, oh, I have robes, we have robes. And they keep going, I have a crown, I have robes. And they keep singing all these kind of songs because they're hopeful, they're hopeful. They're trying to keep their hopes alive. And then the lead slave started a new song. He said, oh, I've got shoes. And they said, we've got shoes. And the slave master said, foolish guy, what are you talking about? They're barefooted, you see. And so he said, foolish guy, what are you talking about? You have no shoes. And so the slave, he laughed and he was going on and kept singing with his friends. And they're marching along and singing. And then he replied to him and said, oh, master, you see, you don't understand. I've got shoes on my mind. I don't have shoes on my feet, but I have shoes on my mind. And you see, that's the idea, friends. We may not have all the talents and everything that we need to get the work done, but we have souls on our minds. Souls on our minds. And when souls on our mind, it doesn't matter where we are, what we have, what we need, God will give us what we need to win the souls for the kingdom. I've got souls on my mind. If you see me get so excited on the pulpit, it's because many years ago, not too long, 2019, I was in Africa. I came back from Africa. Some of you know my story a little bit. I came back and I didn't know what was going on. I felt sick. I didn't understand. I was rushed into the emergency room and I was in ICU, you see. And in ICU, they hooked me up from head to toe and they thought I wasn't going to make it. You see, I had the worst type of malaria that is. Got it in Africa. And so when I was hooked up, they said, how did you make it back to the United States? Now, they believe that if I didn't reach to the United States, they didn't have the facilities in Africa to take care of me. And so during this time on my bed, the doctors came in, the specialists came in. They all thought that, forget it, this malaria is going to knock him out. In fact, I learned later, After all, after it got finished, I learned with a friend, a missionary, that told me, you know, I was so scared and praying for you because my dad died from the very same type of malaria in Africa. I learned that later. But you see, while I was in ICU and I was praying, Lord, what am I going to do? I said, Lord, well, if it is my time, I guess it's my time. And I had that prayer. You know that prayer. You prayed and just give it all to God and confess all your sins and did everything. Because according to them, they called me to call my family. They thought that was it in the ICU. And so at that time, I said, Lord, if this is it, it's all right. I have tried, I have worked, I have traveled a little bit, given my best for you. But Lord, if you would just save my life, I really want to continue to work some more for you. And if you save my life, I will try my very best to be on fire every time you give me an opportunity. So if you see me here always just on fire, I'm pouring out my heart to God. It's the promise I gave him when I was in the ICU. And I said, God, I will pour out my heart anytime I get to speak for you. And so like the slave, I say, as they say, I have shoes on my mind, I have souls on my mind. I have the gospel on my mind. I have the world on my mind. People that are dying in our world. Now let's move on now, as you will stone me from the pulpit because I take too much time. Point number two, that should be number two. Well, yeah, the preacher sometime going too fast and don't put his numbers together. Number two, the call from without. The call from without expresses and shows us the world that is in need. When we understand the call from within, it's the fire that's within my heart. But the call from without is looking and understanding what's going on. Our scripture reading this morning was from John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. And in John chapter 4, Jesus says, look at the fields. Do you remember that? He said, look at the fields. They're ripe unto harvest. And Jesus said, my work, my meat is to finish the work that God has given me. So I want to take you now through the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever call on the name of the Lord, what will happen? Shall be saved. Next verse. The Bible continues saying, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Number 15 now, it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. Do you see, friends? The call from without is helping us to see the needs of people. Notice the needs that are here. Now we started in verse, go back now, Dale, too fast. Thank you, you're going fast, but that's great. So we want to retract. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, we see something very interesting. We're seeing that those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? And then we say, well, how can they call if they have not heard? And how can they believe on someone that they have not heard about? And how will they hear without a preacher? So let's just start from verse 15 and go backwards. It's a very interesting study, by the way. So what will need to happen? When I accept Christ and I have fallen in love with Christ, then he sends me. Do you see? From 15, we're going backwards now. So when I'm called by Christ, I'm enjoying the gift of Christ. I look at the world. The world is in need, so Christ sends me. What he sends me to do? Come on, look at the verse. He sends me to preach. That's right. So Christ sends me to preach. And as I preach, people will hear the message. And as they hear the message, they have an opportunity to do what? Believe the message. And then we go back to verse 13. As they have the opportunity to believe the message, they can call on the name of God and they can be saved. Did you see this? Can we do it again? When we believe and when we come to Christ, he sends us. He sends us to preach, teach, share, whatever word you want to use. You don't have to be a preacher. He sends us to preach or teach. And as we preach the word, people hear the message. As they hear the message, they have an opportunity to do what? To believe the message and to believe in Jesus. And as this opportunity comes that they can believe in Jesus, now they can call, that's verse 13, call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Study it at home. Number three, let's bring it home now. A call from beneath. The pioneers are calling. Symbolically, the prophets of the Bible are calling us today to finish the work. Symbolically, my friends, Moses is saying, finish the work. Elijah is saying, we've done our part, you need to finish the work. Daniel is saying symbolically, I have gotten the prophecies from God and I have shared the prophecies with you. You are now living in the last days. Finish the work. Symbolically, when we think about the men of God who have poured out, the disciples are saying to you and I, finish the work. Peter is saying, I preach, I poured out everything. Stephen is saying, I preach and they stoned me, but I did my part. The call from beneath, these are the men in their graves, symbolically speaking to us today, that there is not much time. Earth's final crisis is coming to an end. Finish the work. And God is calling His church and you and I this morning to be a part of this symbolical call. You see, in the book of Hebrews, we read this, Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. And all these, talking about the men of the Bible, have obtained a good report through faith. Receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know what that means? They have done their part. They have done their work. They went. I will go. They went. And they did their part. And God is saying, you know, all of them, except for just a few that are up in heaven, the majority of them, they're all waiting on us. That they without us should not be made perfect. They're in their graves waiting. It's almost they're waiting. Yes. Yes. The last generation, they're going to finish the work. And when that is over, we're all going to be together. The call from beneath reminds us of the pioneers. Reminds us of the men who gave their lives for this movement to go forward. Reminds us of the stalwarts of faith. The great men who gave everything. He put away their goods and whatever they had so that the gospel can go forward. That's the call from beneath. Symbolically, these men are saying, it's your time. Is it your time, beloved? It is our time. It is our time. I will go. Let's finish this morning. And this gospel of the kingdom shall what? Be preached to all the world for what? Witness, and then shall the end come. Jesus Christ helping us to remember that the gospel must go to all the world. Where is all the world? Right around you. Sometimes we think we need to go to Africa. We need to go to South America. We need to go to Asia. And we need to go to India and all these places, friends. But our mission field is right around us. Right here where we are. The song says that we should always be thinking about where we are. Where are you? Where am I? Brighten the corner where you are. Where's your corner today? Where's my corner of the world? The gospel will go to that corner. God is saying, brighten the corner where you are. And that's the charge for us today. And finally, I shared with you this morning, there's not just a call from within your heart. You realize God is calling and you have poured out. You realize that the fire that is within you, because you recognize how much He loves you and has saved your life. But there's a call from without where people are dying in sin. Every day, Satan is trying to kill people in their sins because he doesn't want people to be saved, you see. And so God is saying there's a call from without. And then now there's a call from beneath. The men that have done their part, they've gone. And it's symbolically they're calling us. And number four, call from above. God is calling you and I. God is calling. Luke chapter 15 shows us three things. Let's move on now. The lost coin. You see, the lost coin doesn't know it's lost. So the woman was sweeping around, doesn't know it's lost. There are many people in our world, they don't know that they're lost. Coin doesn't know they're lost. Move on now. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One sinner that repents, there is rejoicing in heaven. And if heaven rejoiced for one, we should rejoice. Amen? We should rejoice with heaven, beloved friends. And now, we also see a few things that happen. That's our scripture reading that we read. I'm not going to flesh it out too much. I've quoted it. I've mentioned it. That Jesus, the disciples didn't know what was going on. When Jesus said, hey, I have meat, I have food that you know not of. They wanted to give him food and he said, I'm fine, guys. Because what was in Jesus' mind, souls were on his mind. Yes, he ate at times, many times, of course, daily, when he needed to. But in this instant, the disciples didn't see the Samaritan woman. They didn't see that Jesus was just there appealing, and this woman is going to call the entire community. They were seeing the food. And there are times we have to forget about the temporal things of this life, because souls are on our minds. And Jesus said, I have food that you know not of. And he tells them, look at the fields. He was trying to say, look at this Samaritan woman. She's going to call the community because the water of life is stirring up in her heart. Move on now. Pastor Mark Finley, one of my favorite preachers, especially in the area of evangelism, he puts it this way. The more we pray and study the word and revival takes place in our hearts, the more we're going to desire to witness. Or to do evangelism. And the more we desire to witness, the more we're going to experience revival. Isn't it beautiful? I love it, beloved friends. Sometimes you ask yourself, why am I not having revival? My final verse this morning is in the book of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. I will go. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am. What? Send me. You see, sometimes we say, Lord, I want revival. Have you prayed for revival? I have prayed for revival. But you know something the Lord has taught me? When I pray for revival, the Lord reminds me that revival, God will not revive me to sit down and get fat and get obese. Spiritually, I'm talking about now. I give revival so you can work. I give revival in my work. So you see, revival comes when we're active in the work of the kingdom of God. So if you're praying for revival, one of the easiest ways to see and experience the power of revival, get on fire for God. Just work for God and you see how He revives the heart. You see how He changes the heart. And so this morning, there's a story I close with. I will pass this if you take a picture or so. So to evangelize respectfully, there are some just pointers. You can take a quick pick. I'm going to leave that. Just showing some things we need to listen to God. Listen to the people. Have confidence in what we're sharing, what God has given. Sometimes we're nervous with what the power that God has given. We need to have confidence in knowing that the same power that delivered my life, the same power that delivered Paul, the same power that delivered the men of the Bible is the same power that is able to deliver people today. And so finally, a gentleman, this guy was all along. I have it here. I could be moving along. It's here. Number two. This gentleman sent in Europe many years ago. Number two, this is. Many years ago, in Europe, there was a big earthquake. And the gentleman, one of the gentlemen that had his little son in school, the earthquake took place and the entire school building fell apart. Little Johnny was about 6 years old. And Johnny was there in school, and you know, Dad normally tells Johnny, son, it doesn't matter what happens to you, I will come for you. I will always be there for you, it doesn't matter what happens in this life. And so when the school building collapsed, it's so interesting, the entire building collapsed, all the parents came to the school crying, thinking, of course, my sons, my daughters are dead, and parents were just wailing, and the ambulance and the fire trucks, all of them were there around the school building. And finally, Dad arrived, and he started thinking about little Johnny, and he said to the fireman, please give me an opportunity, but I'm going to go for Johnny in there. If he's dead or alive, I just want to see him. If he's dead, I want to see him to bury him, and I know it's possible that Johnny's alive, he said. This man had all the faith. I don't know where it came from, but he thought Johnny was alive. And even though the firefighters tried to stop him and said, no, you can't go in there. It's done. Everything is done. The man said, please, I just want to see Johnny. At least I can bury him. At least I can put him down. I want to see his face again. And so the man started digging, and he's going through the rubbles, and he's going through the crushed concrete and everything. You see, friends, so interestingly, when the building fell, There was a part of the building that fell over and it broke. It just created a V. So a part of the wall broke and created a V, and Johnny was right between the V. You see, the father didn't know that. No one knew, but he just wanted to see his son. He wanted to go. He said, let me go, please. And he pleaded with the fireman. He was going in there and going for it. And he's calling now. He said, Johnny, can you hear me? Johnny, I'm coming, son. Can you hear me? And he kept calling and calling. And then he heard about, Dad, I'm here. And he started hearing the voice. And he kept digging faster. And he's going through all the trash. And he finally found Johnny. Johnny was alive, and guess what, friends? There were 20 other students that were there in the class. That classroom collapsed this way, and the V was there, and all about 20 students were there with Johnny. And Johnny said, I knew you would come, Dad. I knew you would come because you told me you'd always be there for me. Friends, Jesus came many years ago. Jesus, just like Johnny, we are all in the rubbles of this life. The circumstances and difficulties. But Jesus came through all the difficulties of this world and looked down because he was coming for you and I. Just like Johnny, Jesus came for you, for me. And as John 3:16, he came for everyone in this world.